I got the Mother's Day gift right in mind, Steve. I'm ready to swoop in and get it. 3 coconut donuts on top of a Delco Philly cheesesteak. You can't beat that, Steve. You can't beat that.
I thought you were taking your wife to a rookie mini camp later today, no?
She ain't no rookie.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, looking great. Here he is. He's in Tarpon Springs today, of all places. And I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFans here, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richey, out of his county. He's the water damage whisperer. How are you, Ira?
Good. We came down here to see you, Steve. We're closer to your house than my house. Good. It's a good change.
It's a road
change of habit.
It's a road trip for Ira. That's Ira, right. There's an ice cream shop across the street here. How about that?
I got my mind on it right now.
So, the Sages podcast, and we got a lot to get to today. Presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, third generation family-owned dealership a mile north of the stadium. Employee pricing, Ira. That means you don't even have to be a Bill Curry Ford employee to get the employee discount.
I thought it had a short shelf life, and it's still going on, Steve. It's still going on.
You don't have to work at Bill Curry Ford to get what they give the employees. It's an incredible opportunity, and you can get several thousand off that, depending on the vehicle. They still have some 2024s available. Sean Sullivan, the GM, our good buddy, the greatest draft guru in Florida.
And they'll give you value on your trade-in, Steve. On your trade.
Yeah, he's doing incredible things with these discounts and the Ira Kaufman discounts available for everybody. They will buy your vehicle. You don't even have to purchase a car there. They will give you way over Kelley Blue Book value on most of the purchases. So check them out. BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium. Mobile service has taken everything by storm, Ira. It's never been easier. You know, if you're sitting there in South Tampa and you want to have your oil change on your Ford Bronco
on a Sunday afternoon,
on your Bronco Sport or whatever it is, you can make an appointment. They'll come out, take care of everything at your home. And in addition to many other services, recalls, BillCurryFord.com. But the dealership's open 7 days, so it's a great Sunday to get out shopping. And also service is available on Sunday. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, our great friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. I'm so happy that they're there for me, because I know who I'm calling as soon as lightning hits that roof and I got an issue.
Don't you have some mold on some of your old stories, Steve? Mold's growing on some of your old Tampa Tribune stories.
Oh, a couple
stories.
Of them, yeah, absolutely.
You still got the tear sheets from the paper, so you check for mold over there, Steve.
They're in secure containers, Ira. But seriously, Florida's Elite Restoration. Elite is appropriate. They're fantastic. That's your first phone call when you have a disaster at your property. It could be at your business, too.
And there's a Sage discount for that also.
Sage discount. Mention Ira when you first call Florida's Elite Restoration or Joe Buck's Van. And after they give you your free evaluation, free assessment at your property with all the great technology, free, if you need their services, if you want to sign on with them, they'll give you $500 because you know the Sage. And you mentioned that when you first called. They're just fantastic. 5-star Google reviews. They're family-owned. Josh Martin does an incredible job. And
make that the first phone call,
yeah,
right, Steve?
You just need someone you can trust when you have that water damage, when you have that flood, mold. They're licensed mold remediation specialists, not just a mold guy. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. How are you?
Doing well. Just polished off a small salad.
Small.
Small salad.
That's a mound.
There you go.
Lee looked at it and says, I'm going to get one of those.
Hey, I love a man who eats a salad in the morning. All right. So, look, Ira, with the Bucks, we got a lot to talk about, actually. It's May, but we got a lot going on. And something very amazing happened. And it happened.
Have to do with Cosmo? Anything with Cosmo?
No, not your dog, Ira. Right. Something amazing happened, guys. NBC, of course, has Sunday Night Football, right? So we all see the guys on Sunday Night Football. Tony Dungy, Rodney Harrison, Jack Collinsworth, a bunch of other analysts
Jack
or whatever. Well, he's the host guy, but he, you know, he's become a voice.
Mr. Nepotism.
Thanks to his dad. And Collinsworth, of course, is also on the Notre Dame college broadcast. Anyway, in the offseason, they do an occasional podcast. So Dungy, Harrison, and Collinsworth were together, and Collinsworth says, hey, guys, who's your biggest steal in the draft? Who's your biggest steal? And we'll go around the horn. Okay.
Out of hundreds of guys that were selected.
The entire draft. Who is your biggest steal of the draft? He goes to Harrison first. Harrison says Emeka Egbuka, explains why.
Right off the bat, Egbuka.
Yeah, that's his only one guy. You don't get to pick two. He picks Egbuka. He explains that's his guy. Okay, cool. And I'm sitting there. I wonder who Tony Dungy will pick. And, of course, usually with these network shows, it's rigged, right? They pre-talk about it. Who's your steal? We can't have the same guys from the same team. We got to pick someone from
the
Cowboys.
Don't tell me pick the same guy.
We got to pick somebody from the Cowboys or the Rams or keep Boston happy or whatever. And Tony Dungy sits there. He picks Tez Johnson, Bucks' seventh-round pick.
What the heck's going on around here?
And he explains why. And then it comes back to Collinsworth, who's sort of the host of the podcast, and he's like, well, guys, Bucks fans around the country are going to be very happy because my steal of the draft is second-round pick cornerback Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame, and he goes on to explain why.
Did Jason Light pony up money to these people,
well,
Lee?
I can add to what Isbitz is saying in a moment.
Go ahead, Lee.
Well, ESPN, you know, we're right on the cusp of underwear football season, so we got to keep milking the draft. And so they had all their NFL insiders, all 55 of them. And pick your favorite player in the draft.
A big list they had?
Yeah, however, like it's all their 85 NFL experts.
Like a value pick?
Yeah, well, yeah, your favorite, however you want to define favorite player. Pick your favorite player in the draft. Ben Solak picks Jacob Parrish, Bucks' third-round pick. So the Bucks are getting a lot of love on this draft.
I can't believe what you're saying over there.
Yeah. You believe that? Like, and it was
Dungy, Collinsworth, and Harrison? All picking a buck?
Yeah, a different buck.
Yeah.
And it wasn't pre-planned, so they could have doubled up on Egbuka. But Tony Dungy is sitting there looking in the camera saying, look, years ago.
And Dungy's a former defensive back.
Correct.
Yes, he is.
Correct. Of all the guys he's looked at, he's like, look, guys, Chuck Knoll was my Steelers head coach, one of my mentors. He told me when I got into studying players, put away the damn stopwatch, put away tape measure, and dive into the film. And he's like, when I look at this guy, he's like, this guy is productive, he's elusive, he's this, he's that. Seventh-round pick, Dungy's like, is no-brainer.
What's he envisioning this guy's role going to be?
Well, as crazy as it sounds, Tony.
For me, he's a kick returner right now.
Right now.
His biggest history there is in punt returning. Tez Johnson himself already said, I got the job. It's my job. He said that on draft day. But Tony Dungy didn't go there. He said he could start right now at slot receiver, fill in for Chris Godwin if he's not there, that he believes he could be productive, and sky's the limit.
He's got a first-round pick ahead of him in the slot. Egbuka, he's going to beat that guy out too?
Well, I'm dubious about what Dungy said for a couple reasons. One, I do like what he said, put the tape measure away. That's a Whitey Herzog thing. He would tell the guys scouting pitchers, get rid of the machines. I want your eyeballs. I want to see ball movement. So I like that. However, his scouting wide receivers, is that why he drafted Riddell Anthony?
That was McKay. Put that one on McKay.
Well, you think he okayed it or not? You think Dungy told McKay don't draft him?
I'm not sure. You know, that was early in Dungy's career.
Well, I'm always
not sure. I don't know how much pull he had.
I'm always dubious about anything he says offensively. That's just me. But it's interesting, like Steve said, all three guys, apparently it wasn't rehearsed. I don't know. They all picked Bucks. And I got to figure, since Comcast owns NBC, they're like, wait a minute, Jihad Campbell? What, you know, the people in Philadelphia are going nuts.
Who picked Morrison?
Morrison was chosen by Jack Collinsworth, son of Chris Collinsworth.
He's a pro football focus guy?
No,
he's something.
He's an NBC Sports. He's hosts the Sunday Night Football pre- and post game. And he's on NBC, has the Notre Dame broadcasts.
He was terrible play-by-play.
Did he say something like if Morrison wasn't hurt, he would have been a top 10 pick or something?
No, he didn't go there. Which I thought was interesting. Just for the folks who are wondering who's Riddell Anthony, 1990s failed.
Former Gator
failed Bucks draft pick.
Like Jaquez Green.
Exactly.
Are you suggesting people purge that from their memories that badly?
Well, hey, if you're 35 and you got into football in 2000, you don't know who he is.
Can I say this real quick? Jack Collinsworth and Jason Garrett calling Notre Dame's has to be the most brutal announcing crew of any major broadcast.
Why is it so badly?
Oh, Collinsworth sucks and Garrett, it's terrible.
Did Garrett make a pick too?
No, this is a three-man football night in America.
They had 32 teams to pick from.
Yeah,
three guys picked the Bucks.
Ira, you seem in disbelief.
I'm in total disbelief.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it. So, Collinsworth talked about sitting in production meetings for NBC with Benjamin Morrison. And he talked about his presence, his leadership, how sharp he is, all these things, in addition to the play on the field, and combined with what he's heard about him and what he saw, that was his steal of the draft. So, look, if the guy you asked about first-round pick, if the guy was taken in the second round, he'd only be a steal if he should have been a first-rounder in his mind. So, look, we've heard that before, that this guy was a first-round talent. But three of them, I mean, if one of these guys turns out to be the steal of the draft, Jason Light hit a home run, because to be a steal of the draft, you got to way outperform your draft status.
If Light hits three, or if you count Ben Solak, four home runs, that's incredible.
I thought maybe they'd pick the guy from Central Arkansas or something, but boy, they're not fooling around over here. Tez Johnson?
Really? A seventh-round pick.
Great. Tez Johnson. Now, he's a real fun guy. You know, the fans who don't know Tez Johnson, 5'10", 154 pounds. That's what you were in 1981, Iron.
Did he catch passes from Bo Nix a couple of years ago?
Caught passes from Bo Nix, and he's Bo Nix's adopted brother. The Nix family adopted Tez Johnson when he was 15 years old. And really interesting story. If you got some time to kill, go watch Tez Johnson on YouTube. On the Bussin' with the Boys podcast a year ago, he talked to them and went into his background and all that. Really
interesting
guy.
You would think Sean Payton would take a look at the guy, Lee?
You would think a lot of guys would take a look at the guy.
You know, with Bo Nix?
But he's tiny. He's tiny. I don't know if you watched the Buccaneers video. The Buccaneers released it, you know, when they call and tell the pick he's drafted. Now, this is pretty – it's pretty much been out there all over the place. You know, Light calls him up and he's like, what took you so long? But what not too many people have put out there is Light's response. We didn't have a sixth-round pick.
Good one by Light.
Yeah,
and
so,
as we look up, Steve, on the monitor, there's Bucky Irving joining the Kay Adams show.
Yes. Lucky guy.
Yeah, little replay of Bucky.
That's one reporter he likes. Now,
I thought Bucky doesn't talk a lot.
That's what you took the words on, Mal. That's one reporter he likes. Now, I'm not going to say Bucky's a good dude. To my knowledge, he doesn't like reporters. He hates interviews.
Didn't you stalk him after each buck?
I did. He didn't like it. I did. He didn't like it. But I got him. I cornered him. Basically, the only time he'll do an interview is when the Bucks force him. And he's okay with as far as he's cooperative, but he does not like doing interviews.
I just want to clarify. I don't want to mischaracterize it, so I'm sort of asking at the same time. I think that Bucky was extra shy early in his rookie year, and he opened up a little bit later. Like, it felt like, all right, this will be okay, and I kind of have to, I'm a little warmer about it later in the year. Is that fair?
A little bit. He still doesn't like doing one-on-ones, you know, like with the reporters. But Kay Adams is a different animal, so I get that. I get that.
I'm wearing a skirt to OTAs. We'll see if that works.
Please warn me.
So regarding Tez Johnson now, one of the many interviews I've watched of Tez Johnson, again, the kick returner and receiver, 2,000 yards with Oregon over the past 2 years, very productive and great returner as well. So I watched an interview with him. Now, he's the anti-Bucky. He's very open, loves the media, loves interviews, except in one of the interviews I watched, he talked about being very careful with media and how Bo Nix's father used to talk to him about that, and Bo Nix did as well. So you know what? Maybe some of that chatter from Bo Nix got to Bucky, and Bucky was roommates with Tez Johnson, and Bucky interpreted as, hey, you got to – got to be real super careful. Maybe that's an Oregon thing, but Tez Johnson doesn't go along with that. I mean, he's wide open.
You think I'm exaggerating the value of a kickoff returner this season with the new rules? You agree that there's going to be a lot more kickoff returns
than
we've seen?
As you said, teams aren't going to want to start our defense. The teams that are kicking off aren't going to want the ball on the 35-yard line to start a possession. Two passes, you're in field goal range.
That's more than a third. That's more than a third of the way down the field. If you're going, you know, 100 from
that's true.
From zero. So
you're always good at math.
I'm always good at math. Steve, I think there's a lot of value in kick returns this year.
How much?
Tucker wasn't bad. Tucker wasn't bad last year. Now the guy that I want to be replaced is Trey Palmer returning punts. I thought he did a poor job. Not only was his average like 8 yards, his long was 17. You know, 17 yards, that's your long punt return. But, Lee, on top of that, I thought he made some bad decisions. I remember a few times he's catching the ball inside the 5-yard line. You don't do that.
No.
You don't do that, Mr. Palmer. You let the ball bounce. And if it bounces at the 3, it's at the 3. But if you're catching at the 5 with a fair catch, you're not giving yourself any chance.
Right there is a major malfunction with the coaching.
There was a game when I thought he almost did it twice.
There was a couple of them, yeah.
Inexcusable.
Isn't that rule number one, Lee? That's like rule number one.
Why was he out there? You do it one time, you either get your rear end shooter or you get pulled, one of the two.
You don't do a
That's
fair
ridiculous.
Catch at your 5-yard line, Steve. You just don't do it.
I've never heard of that, but I guess if you feel that there's too much traffic around you, maybe some
coaches... Get the hell out of the way.
Thank you.
Well, I agree with you. I'm saying maybe some coaches say, look, if you're not sure that you've got 10 yards of clearance, we don't need a ball bouncing off somebody's ass. I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, he wasn't good enough, and the Bucs obviously want to replace him. Lee's comment was spot on. Jason Light said to the guy right on that phone call, hey, we didn't take you because we didn't have a sixth-round pick. So that's how highly, you know. And Jason Light has talked openly about how he thinks very carefully about what he says on those draft phone calls because they live in infamy.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want to sound stupid. He doesn't want to screw up. But he said that to Tez Johnson, and I believe him.
Now, Lee, we also got to remember that about 3 years ago, the word from One Buck Place is this is going to be a special teams draft, and their special teams weren't any better. Remember that? That was before Chase McLaughlin came along.
All right, Ira, look, you know, we were talking before about Bucky Irving on with Kay Adams.
He's all smiles, too.
He was all smiles. He was really.
Wouldn't you?
He was 15 minutes there, and, you know, it's out there on YouTube. But he did talk about his old college roommate, Tez Johnson. And, you know, it reminded me of you, Ira, because Tez Johnson, when Tez Johnson transferred to Oregon to live with, he became roommates immediately, housemates. With Bucky Irving. These guys don't live in dorms anymore, right? They got tons of money. They live in houses. And I've got something really fun to mention about that coming right up here. But he said that Johnson arrived, and Johnson, per Bucky Irving, all he did was talk about how great he is. I'm great. I'm the best. I'm going to be doing so great. I'm incredible. And Bucky Irving had to tell him, dial it back, wait until you get out on the field. And he said, after that, we were good.
So Johnson's full of confidence, full of self-confidence.
Steaming with confidence.
I don't think the Bucks mind that.
No, they like that. They encourage that. They embrace that. And real quick about Lightning, like Steve brought up, that Light admitted on McAfee's show that he's got to be very careful on these podcast or these phone calls because they live forever. He's also scared of a potential blowback. Like he calls some player, and the player, and he's like, "Hey, we just made you such a draft pick," and the player responds, "F you,
I don't want to play for you." Although I don't know if that would ever see the light of day, but it's possible.
It'd be fun.
Especially if they keep the guy, they're going to have to air it. But reason I brought up roommates and moving and the college guys, Ira. So one of these undrafted free agents at rookie minicamp is Shiloh Sanders. Deion Sanders' son, 25 years old, 6 years out of college.
He's going to command a lot of attention this weekend, too.
Well, he is a safety, and... So, of course, he's got a YouTube channel with a lot of followers, and he did a whole video on moving out of his college home, and I'm coming to Tampa, everybody, which is what the title of the video was. So I watched the whole thing, kind of suffered through it, Ira, I got to say. He's got a moving crew of six guys in the mover's crew, packing up all his stuff.
Big old truck.
And he's like, oh, my garage is so full, they're working on it. And he's got family there helping him. And it really illustrated how the college game has changed so much. He doesn't even have a guaranteed job in Tampa.
No, he doesn't. Absolutely not.
But he's moving everything down here.
He's got a whole crew moving to Tampa.
Any pets coming down? Any crocodiles or anything?
I didn't see any pets.
A crocodile in Denver.
A little Komodo dragon, perhaps?
Komodo dragon in Boulder.
He's going to command a lot of attention.
Is he?
This weekend.
From who?
I think it's unlikely. He's going to make the 53. I think it's unlikely.
Well, yeah, only because he's undrafted free agent.
Did I just see a video of Brady working with Shador Sanders in Tampa? Did I see that?
I don't know about a video, but I know he has worked with him.
I saw it in Tampa.
It could have been when he was much younger. He might have.
Yeah,
you know,
that could have been. Yeah. Now, I do know there's a video out there. You were mentioning Bucky Irving a moment ago. Bucky Irving was a guest coach at Oregon spring game, and he was calling plays.
Maybe
they got him mic'd up.
Maybe
he
could show Grizzard a couple of things, Lee. You never know. I'm so high on Bucky Irving, Steve, as you well know. You got to calm me down once in a while.
So
I got him for 2,000 yards. I mean, take it easy. Take it easy. Only one Buck's ever done it.
So, you know, you said that he's going to draw a lot of attention, Shiloh Sanders.
Because of the name.
I guess he already is. We're sitting here talking about him on the Joe Bucks fan show.
But how many media is going to be out there for Sanders?
No, they won't be there specifically for Sanders. I guess
maybe
it's possible.
Camp.
It's possible a TMZ might show up.
Possible, but I'm guessing training camp, if he gets past this weekend.
I would agree completely.
Maybe Collinsworth's kids will come down here.
He's too busy with Notre Dame, I think.
So I'm watching this video, Ira, and of course, included in the video is him going to work out and what he's doing that day and, you know, all the little stupid stuff he's doing. And he goes to some sort of facility. It looked like a Colorado facility, University of Colorado. And he says hello to a couple of guys. One of the guys he says hello to is Zach Treiner.
Former Buck long snapper?
He was the Bucks long snapper from 99 to...
lost his job last year.
I think 2023, yeah. So he won a Super Bowl with the Bucks. Been there for years. They apparently know each other. Now, Sanders says to him, oh, you were with the Buccaneers a long time, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, he explains his history. And Zach Treiner says to him, oh, you're going to love it in Tampa. Jason Light does such a great job bringing in guys. He says, you won't... No jerks, what he said.
No
in
jerks.
Quote. That's the quote. No jerks. You won't have to deal with any of that because Light doesn't tolerate it.
I thought Bull set the culture over here, Lee.
Well, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
Well,
that was
Triner's reaction. What do you make of that?
And he mentioned Light by name?
By name.
You know the emphasis they put on character. It's not something we got to speculate about. And it served them very well in the last 5 years. I say keep it going.
Wasn't there a Light appearance where he tried to define the difference between A-holes and D-bags?
Yeah, he did. Well, I can't run around that if Lee's bringing that up. Can't say we'll do that later. Light made another local appearance this week on FanStream Sports, and he was asked about his comment with Pat McAfee after the draft. He told McAfee, yeah, we'd knock out all these A-holes and D-bags.
Don't even put them on the board.
Put them on our board. We wipe them out.
He didn't abbreviate it on McAfee.
He didn't abbreviate it at all. But we're abbreviating it. And when Light said that on McAfee's show, streaming live on ESPN, you know, how could you not laugh and think that was funny? And it came right out of the GM's mouth. I literally texted Light. I don't text him too often, but I literally texted him, you're so lucky McAfee didn't ask you to define what each one of those things is. But anyway, so he was on FanStream Sports and he was asked to explain guys you don't draft because of character. How many were on your board? Light says, quote, I don't know, probably 20 players that he whacked.
That they didn't consider.
That he whacked because of character. Then he says, maybe more, probably more. I got to look it up. Do you think that's a big number, Ira, Lee? Or you think that's a small number? And then I'll tell you more about what Light said.
20, no. Over 20, that's getting there. That's getting there. And real quick, Ira, if Steve and I didn't abbreviate those words, I'm sure it would roil people at the FCC.
You know one of the guys that might have been on taken off the board? This is speculation. It could be the guy that Atlanta gave up a first-round pick next
Pierce?
Year.
Pierce? Yeah.
Could
I'd
be
bet
Pierce.
On it.
I don't think he was on the Bucks board.
James Pierce Jr.,
yeah,
the edge rusher?
I don't think he's on the Bucks board.
You've said that before, Ira, but you're saying it with confidence in
authority.
Your face.
A little bit of authority, but we'll see how he works out. Hey, Atlanta's so desperate for a pass rush. They'll put up with a lot from this guy if he can get to the quarterback.
But here's the catch. Here's the catch.
Now look what Pittsburgh just did with Pickens. He's a character problem.
He's a severe diva. I don't know about character problem, but he's a...
You know, Tomlin put up with Antonio Brown until he couldn't anymore.
There's only one receiver that did anything after Tomlin was done with him. One. And we saw it with our own eyes. Antonio Brown. Caught a touchdown pass for the Bucks in a Super Bowl win. Yeah. Other than that, name a receiver he was done with. And I don't want to turn this to a Cowboys blog or a Cowboys broadcast, but real quick, and Warren Sharp put this out, this Pickens, best go route runner in the league. Best.
He's pretty good down that sideline.
Dak Prescott, best go route thrower in the league. So look out.
People aren't questioning Pickens' talent.
No, he's a 10-cent head.
There's a little interesting tip there for your season-long wager on total yards. Going to make a note.
What do you think of that with the number 20, Steve? Is that a high number
well,
for you?
Well, like I said, he said it's probably more. I think it's probably a lot. When you look at it per round.
But you're talking about 400 prospects.
I understand.
You know? Yeah.
But he's talking about his draft board. So I'm kind of thinking Light is thinking more of the earlier rounds. I'm thinking his mind was leaning that direction. I don't know, but he went on to say something very interesting, Ira. He said we have a long process of defining who we're taking off the board. We've heard that before. He repeated the lines of, hey, just because a guy doesn't like him and they think he's a bad dude, that doesn't mean we take him off. It's got to affect, quote, the football character, and it's got to affect the team. Okay, so they're really boring in on this. But then he says, quote, we'll take a guy that's a little bit of a D-bag or an A-hole if they can get to the quarterback. That's what he said.
Ah, there you go.
My mind went in a lot of directions when I heard that. What's your thought there?
You know, when we're talking about character and the Bucks boring in and making that a major factor in deciding who they're going to draft, I keep going back to Devin White. I think it's fresh in their minds that this guy became a problem, Lee. And yes, he did. He became a problem more than we'll ever know. Unless we get the details in 5 years, but I think he was affecting the team. Not just a drop-off in his production, which was noticeable. Taking bad angles, missing tackles, not getting...
Loafing.
Loafing, not getting to the quarterback. The guy was a locker room problem, and it's fresh in Light's mind. The guy was the fifth pick in the draft. He's not a bust. They won a Super Bowl with him. He's not a bust, but he didn't get that second contract, Lee. The fifth pick in the draft's got to get that second contract.
Of course.
With your team, and he didn't.
Now, I've not heard anything that he was a bad guy. Maybe he was a bad player? Bad player meaning he wasn't given 110%?
I think he was a bad influence with some of the younger guys.
I don't disagree with that, I will say, and I think you'll agree with me, if the guy's producing, they don't care if he's an a-hole or not. But he was not producing, so he put his head on a chopping block.
I think he became a little more selfish, too, as the years went on.
When I say a bad guy, you know, I'm talking about just a bad human being. I don't think he's that.
No, I wouldn't go that far. He was kind of consumed with his own accomplishments.
Oh, yes.
You remember the famous Brady slap him into reality.
Yeah.
So why did Brady agree to bring him to his brand new team? Because he's on the Raiders now. You got to answer that for me. Same with Spytek. If they had those concerns, what's he doing there?
Maybe they think he changed. Maybe they think the Tampa experience and the Philadelphia experience.
Well, it's worth
about that.
It's worth a cheap gamble.
Yeah, but it wasn't worth it for the Bucs to give him a second contract.
Maybe it's because he can get to the quarterback.
Brady had Antonio Brown living in his freaking house. So let's not get carried away here.
And then he moved into Ira's when Brady kicked him out.
You'd sign Kay Adams if she produced.
Sign her.
If she produced. That's enough, Lee.
So, you know, rookie minicamp, we're midway through a rookie minicamp. And if you think about, people are worried about Shiloh Sanders. What is he going to pull a stunt or this and that? As much as Jason Light talks about character, I have to believe that that applies to Sanders. So they're not worried about him at all. Light actually said he was asked, are you expecting Deion at practice? And Light says, no, we're not expecting Deion. Maybe he'll come like any father would want to, later in the spring, watch a practice or something. But he didn't mention him. He did go on and talk, though, about players he was excited about in undrafted free agency. Of course, he later qualified it by saying he loves everybody. But the first guy he mentioned was John Bullock, a linebacker out of Nebraska. And
again with the Nebraska.
Sanders was not somebody he mentioned. He mentioned a safety from Marshall. So it made me think that Sanders probably is a real long shot.
You and Lee both said it right last week, just talking a little bit about rookie minicamp. Underwear football at its fullest, Lee.
Yeah, you
at
can't get anything out of it.
You can't do this. You can't do that. The rules are unbelievable.
It's
the regulations.
Football.
It's more about getting into the playbook.
Yes.
And can you take the playbook to the field?
So, look, Ira, we've been talking a lot, and Jason Light had more comments this week.
Is there a talk show that Light has turned down? Has he turned down anybody?
Yeah, Ira Kaufman podcast.
Yeah, so why don't we ask him, you know?
So, to continue on it, Sage, he was asked about David Walker on his visit to FanStream Sports.
I'm a little intrigued by David Walker. I'm a little intrigued.
So, he's the edge rusher out of Central Arkansas, and, you know, we've talked about this guy. Fans are learning about him. 6'1", 260.
Super productive.
Built like a rocket-fueled big fire hydrant kind of thing. But, you know, he was very successful against lesser competition.
Who's he being compared to in size? James Harrison, a little bit?
Harrison, now.
Freeney?
I'm glad you asked that Jason Light was really excited. He was talking about how excited he is to see him at rookie minicamp, which is kind of funny. It's almost disingenuous because, yeah, Light wants to see him move. But to everybody wondering about rookie minicamp, nothing happens. The guys are in shorts. They're in T-shirts. You can't hit anybody. And even if he did, quote unquote, look good against the guy on the other side of him wearing T-shirts and a helmet, who's that guy?
There's no 7-on-7.
An undrafted right tackle out of Division III football or something? So
you can get a hunch from receivers and defensive backs.
Oh, yeah.
But that's about it. The linemen can't touch and literally cannot touch anybody. So they're working on their footwork or their hands or whatever. So like as Steve said, you can't tell heads or tails of what they're doing.
Now in training camp, if he tries to get around Tristan Wirfs, that's going to be interesting, Lee. We'll watch that.
Wirfs can't put hands on it.
If they're in pads.
Jalen McMillan. Yeah. You could tell that there was something with him in underwear football. You could tell. But again, that's a receiver. And a defensive back, the same thing. That's about it.
Lee's on the money. You can tell in those receiver cornerback battles, if you have a quarterback that is a rookie, you can watch him throw and get a sense of his rhythm and things like that and arm strength. But an edge rusher who can't touch anybody, not the scene. However, Light was talking about Walker. So here he goes, Ira, because he hasn't spoken publicly at length about David Walker. And, quote, he's got tremendous instincts. He's got tremendous use of hands. He's got an arsenal of moves. He's got a big burst. He's powerful, and he's got a
Why wasn't he the 19th pick in the draft, Mr. Light?
Thank you.
And he's got a relentless motor. The only thing that when you draw it up, he doesn't have, Light continues, he doesn't have the size and length that the ideal edge rusher has. He's short, and he goes on to say he's on the short side, but, you know, all the other things that he does kind of make up for it.
So he's not going to knock down a lot of passes. Big deal, Lee. You know, so he's not Julius Peppers in that regard. Okay. Can he get to the quarterback?
Yeah.
That's all you and I care about.
I want to say he's got a fair amount of pass breakups. But that's going to freak people out because that means he's got to go into pass coverage.
It's going to freak you out.
Again. Man, I'm sick of that.
Well, Walker, after the draft, one of the local reporters asked him about dropping in coverage, which fans go nuts when they're seeing, you know, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, and Yaya.
Now, other teams do it, to be fair.
I know.
Steve. Other teams do,
they believe,
do it.
They believe
those
the Bucs,
other teams don't stink out loud of the pass rush either.
The Bucs
edge rushers
do it too much, a lot of fans believe, and Todd Bowles thinks they do as well. That's why he was so focused on an edge rush.
Yet he's the coach.
So,
well, if he doesn't think he's got guys that can get there, Lee, that's a problem. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of confidence in these guys.
So Walker said to one of the local reporters, oh, yeah, I dropped in coverage all the time. That was our defense in college.
But he still put up numbers like that, dropping into coverage?
But he still rushed the passer. But either way, so Light goes on to say, quote, there's been a lot of undersized Dwight Freeney's and Robert Mathis and James Harrison. And then he cuts himself off and says, now, I'm not putting him in that category yet. But Light goes on to talk about how incredibly mature Walker is, and he said, quote, he believes it'll translate to the NFL. Huh? So a late fourth-round pick, this is really high-end chatter about
it
a guy
is.
Like that.
Now, Lee, let me say it right up front. Dwight Freeney, who now has a gold jacket, he had one of the greatest moves that any defensive lineman's ever had in the history of the National
Spin.
Football League. He perfected it. They knew what was coming. They couldn't stop him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pump the brakes a little bit. Yeah, he's up.
I got to say this, and I can't remember what game, but I know it was late in the season, and people were morally outraged, including me, about all these guys dropping back into coverage. Second, you know, you're talking about how Bowles is too much. Second friggin' play of the game, Vita Vea drops back into pass coverage. I about threw something
Vita
in the press
Vea.
Vita Vea. And here Todd Bowles, who was also the defensive coordinator, says they do it too much. Second play of the game. I about lost it.
What are the chances the Bucs play more of a base 4-3 with Reddick, Diaby, Cansey, and Vea? I'm not sure there's a big distinction between an outside linebacker and a defensive end in the Bucs system.
No, there's not. You know, I got to be fair to Bowles real quick. Here I am hollering about dropping back into coverage, and I stand behind that. I think it was the Dallas game where he and Vea dropping back into coverage, and Vea got to stop to force a punt, put the Bucs in position to win. They didn't win. Had Bowles not had Vea dropping into coverage, he doesn't get that tackle. Dallas takes care of the ball, and they go ahead and they won anyway. But I got to be fair. You know, I did see one play. One, like Steve Young, one. I only saw one play where that worked out.
Well, it's hard to say that the Bucs are running anything that looks like a 4-3 defense, but if you go back to the Super Bowl years, it looked a little more like that when they had JPP and Shaq, for sure.
Now, the Philadelphia win in the playoffs, the last one, the Monday night game, they were five down linemen. I remember that.
Yeah.
So, Ira, Buccaneers' second-round pick, as we're focusing on the rookies this weekend.
That would be Benjamin, not Ben. Benjamin.
Benjamin Morrison, cornerback, the guy who's a press coverage guy. He's an intense dude. Todd Bowles played 1 year with the Redskins with his father.
He's got length.
He's not that tall. No, he's not that tall.
But well, compared to Parrish.
Yeah,
compared
to Parrish, yeah. Parrish, the third-round pick. So I'm watching CBS HQ, and Logan Ryan is out there giving draft
Logan
grades.
Logan Ryan?
Logan Ryan, the former Buccaneer, longtime Patriot, couple of Super Bowl rings.
Still waiting for him to make a play in a Buck uniform, Lee.
He made a couple. He was too injured. But he lives in Tampa full-time. He's close with Bowles still. And it was kind of funny because, you know, everybody does these draft grades. And Logan Ryan gets up there. And you could almost tell the producers weren't too happy about it, or the host. Ryan gets up there and he says, look, I'm a real tough grader. You know,
I ain't giving out A's.
I don't give out grades like other people, blah, blah, blah. So he gives the Bucs a C-plus for their offseason, and he dives into it, and he goes through the rest of the division. That was the best grade he gave out, C-plus.
Wow.
So he really is a tough grader. But he mentioned Benjamin Morrison, the corner, and he said right after the draft, I get a phone call from this guy, Benjamin Morrison, and he wants to know, where are you working out? Who's your nutritionist? What do I need to know? What should I be expecting? And he's all up in Logan Ryan's face right after the draft.
Doesn't know the guy?
He didn't say he knew him. No, he didn't mention any relationship. Now, it's possible, I'm guessing that Todd Bowles maybe passed on his phone number.
And Bowles respects Logan Ryan.
But for the kid to do that, 21 years old, he's not even here yet. You know, there's no urgency. And the Bucs have guys who lead orientations with rookies to tell them, hey, these are some independent people we work with. If you're looking for a trainer in July when we're on vacation, yeah, but that's how aggressive he was.
Ryan,
what do you think?
Steve, did Ryan say anything provocative about Hassan Reddick if he was looking at the whole offseason?
Ryan pays close attention to the Bucs. He mentioned Reddick, obviously, as the big offseason addition, yet he gave him a C+. To me, that told me
he's good.
Ryan doesn't think that he thinks he's that great.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't think that Light hit a home run with that.
Well, didn't you just say Ryan's a tough grader?
Yeah, but yeah. C+. Well, adding Hassan Reddick, I don't know.
I can only go by his quote unquote tough grading, and he had the Bucks.
You said it was the best
C+,
in the division.
The best in the division, and people are going ya-ya over. No pun intended. People are going ya-ya over the Dixie Chicks. Well, that tells me C+ is a good grade.
For him.
For Logan Ryan. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for camp. I like I like this roster, Lee. And I don't say it all the time. I don't know what Vegas is saying right now, but
9.5.
To me, 11 should be the minimum.
Whoa.
Win 11 games.
Minimum.
I like this team.
Mark the tape, 11.
The tape is marked.
How bad can a defense be when you're scoring 30 points? You still should win 11 games.
Talk to Jameis about that.
But this is where you drive me insane, Ira. See, I was doing so well today.
I like this roster.
I like it too, but you're telling me it's an 11-win minimum team right now. But if they lose 11 games, Todd Bowles' job is safe. Come on. I don't understand. I don't put those two together. It's so hard for me.
I don't see how they could lose 11 games barring, like, an injury to Mayfield. I mean, the division stinks. Let's be honest here. Who's going to make a big jump? Carolina? I mean, they're getting a little better every year. You know, they'll win 7 games. New Orleans is in free fall.
Yes.
They don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know. Spencer Rattler could be their game one starter.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
give me a break over here. And Penix, you know.
I like him.
He is the wild card.
Remember when Raheem was the coach here and they free falled? And Shannon was very open about saying one of the reasons the Glazers hired him, they want him to clean up the locker room. Do you get a sniff the same thing's starting in Atlanta as what happened here under Raheem, that they just don't give a damn about good guys or character or responsibility?
That's a great question right there.
It's all under the word desperation. Arthur Blank, desperate man, desperate man. Buck locker room, clean as a hound's tooth, Steve. Clean as a hound's tooth.
So you asked about Logan Ryan. When he referenced the Panthers, he said, Dave Canales, I like him, blah, blah, blah. And he said, quote, Bryce Young is the quarterback he's, quote, stuck with.
Ooh.
That's how he referred to him, stuck with, which I thought was pretty telling. But you know what? A lot of people are excited in New Orleans, Ira, about second-round pick, the quarterback out of Louisville, Tyler Shook.
He's going to compete.
Sean King.
Former, a lot of quarterbacks love this guy.
Former Bucks quarterback who pulls no punches and has coached quarterbacks, was ex-quarterback. Always evaluates the quarterbacks. I heard him on a Cleveland radio station saying that Shook's the second best quarterback in this draft was, and you know he sees special in him.
But he's a rookie, so.
And the Bucks have Mayfield, huge advantage.
11 huge wins. Advantage. 11 wins.
Now that's not on face value. That's not nuts. But the reason why I say that is every year under Bowles, they've won one more game.
Yeah.
So if that continues, it'd be 11 wins. Is that where you're getting that from, Myra?
That's part of it, Lee.
Okay.
It's part of it. An ascending team, says Jason Light. Ascending.
All right, we're ascending.
Don't whirl me up over there, Lee.
Royal.
So, Ira, look, this rookie minicamp that people are going to be paying attention to, I mean, what sort of hype and hyperbole are you expecting out of this thing? Where do you think Todd Bowles is going to go? Is he going to try to pump up the rookies when he talks to the media on Friday? Right? Because a lot of times Bowles, sometimes he'll gas people up. Sometimes he lowers expectations. Where do you think does he try to send a message to Jamel Dean on Friday when he talks to media? What do you think happens from Bowles?
Well, Light's been doing a pretty damn good job of pumping these guys up, especially the Central Arkansas kid. I think Bowles will really focus on the second and third round picks, the two corners. I mean, that's his bailiwick over there.
Bailiwick.
I'm not sure how much Bowles had to do with picking
Ibuka.
Ibuka.
Sounds like a lot.
I don't know. We'll see.
You're dubious of that claim.
You know, I know he said we can outscore people. You got to play offense. Well, you averaged 29 freaking points last year. You got to focus on your defense, Mr. Bowles. Is he going to send a message to Jamel Dean? Well, you know how I feel about Dean. I think he's on shaky ground, Lee. I'm not sure he makes it to training camp. How do you like
that?
We'll see. I'm down on him. I don't think he's going to win this battle. Somebody's going to beat him out at corner. And Jamel Dean, good luck in Detroit.
They don't even know for sure if Morrison's going to be around to start a training camp.
Good luck in Detroit.
Wow. Now, I will say this about Dean real quick. You know, you asked about sending the message. If drafting two cornerbacks on night two of the draft isn't a message, I don't know what is.
He doesn't have ball skills. They need ball skills, Steve. They want balls in guys' hands on the Buck side of the ball.
That's going to be a drop for somebody.
They want takeaways. They want takeaways. What are you laughing about? They want footballs in Buccaneer hands.
That will not be the last time we hear that.
No, it won't. Right?
The number seven. It's the number seven.
Attention,
Steve.
Aaron Jacobson and Pat Donovan.
It's the number seven. You can't have seven interceptions. I'm sorry. Bowles is a former defensive back. You can't have seven. The guy digs in Dallas. That's a good year for Diggs. Seven interceptions. They got nine guys playing secondary, and they can't come up with now, Lee, I know how you are on takeaways. Overrated.
Yep.
Overrated. I don't agree. Give me somebody who's going to pick off a few balls.
I'll say this about takeaways. I do think they're more valuable, and you could do the math and all that stuff. I'm just saying in general, they are more valuable when you got a really good offense.
That's a great point.
You know,
that's a great point.
And the Bucs have that offense.
Fair. So.
And it really screwed them in the Washington playoff game. They didn't give the ball to Mayfield enough.
They fumbled on a gimme play. That's what screwed them.
They didn't get enough snaps, Lee.
Well, that's the biggest thing, yeah. But if you're talking about the game itself, take that fumble away, the Bucs win the game.
But I'm not blaming Cone for it.
No, I'm not at all. The play was there. Just wasn't executed.
You think there's Duval.
A final thought as we sit here with rookie minicamp approaching.
Yeah, I got
approaching.
A final thought, Lee.
He's Steve.
We just found out. No, but Lee, we just found out that the Bruce Arians Foundation, which has been doing annual fundraisers in Tampa at Innisbrook. Last year they did it somewhere else. This year it's going to be downtown Tampa at a restaurant.
Joe Madden's?
I'm not sure Madden still has a piece of it, but he did. But he did. And Lee, it just reminds me, even though he's not too involved with the team right now, admittedly, boy, Buck fans should never forget what Arians did for this team.
Never.
Never, Lee. Never.
Well, he does have his name.
Instrumental in Brady.
Oh, my gosh,
Brady,
yes.
Negotiations, turning this offense around, Lee.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish he was around a little bit more, Lee. I wish he was a little
bit. The Bucs don't win a second Super Bowl without him. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know what's fun about the Arians Family Foundation event? It's officially sponsored. You know, it's a huge annual fundraiser. They raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. And
kids are the beneficiaries. Kids.
Yeah. The Guardian Ad Litem program and the court system. It's fabulous stuff that they do. It goes back to his wife's work as a lawyer, and they support that in many states. But I saw the Buccaneers are the official sponsor of this year's event, which means they're handing money over to Arians Foundation. And I saw that. I had to laugh. It's like they're already giving Arians $1 million, $2 million a year to do absolutely nothing as a senior advisor to Jason Light. It's kind of funny that they're giving him even more money. You know, when you think Arians might say, no, I can't take more of your money. No, he is.
And Lee, when I was saying that Buck fans shouldn't forget about Arians' contribution, the Glazers will never forget it.
Well, his name is in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
so
they'll never forget it.
Nor should they.
Our final question for Ira Lee, or otherwise we're heading out of this podcast.
I'm just still fascinated that you were talking about Dungy, and you take his word on a good wide receiver.
That one threw me off. I thought Dungy would certainly talk about one of the two cornerbacks, and he comes up with the seventh round pick. Hey, if the guy breaks an 80-yard punt, good call.
Yeah.
Good call, coach.